I'd like for you to grab your Bible and follow along tonight. If you would, to begin with, just open up to Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13, there's a statement that is made that I want us to look at. I would say people are really different. Well, there are a lot of similarities, but there are a lot of differences. We like different things. What really is of interest to some people is just terribly boring to other people. We're very unique. I remember a number of years ago, I bought a suit, and it was fine. It was a brown suit. I came home one day, and I couldn't find it. And I searched and searched. Finally, I went to Kim, and I said, where's my suit? She had thrown it in the trash and gotten rid of it. Because she didn't like it, but I thought it was fine. But there are differences in people. We see some things differently, but there's probably a handful of things that we all universally, I believe, want. And one of those things that I think we want almost on a universal level is contentment. The ability to be satisfied and to find fulfillment and just peace in life. And the strange thing is that people spend their life in pursuit of that, and it's right there at their fingertips, and they just don't realize it. And so they pursue all these courses thinking that, you know, if I can just fill my bucket with these things, that it'll really make me happy, and that's not where it's found. And I really believe the answer to contentment is found in Hebrews chapter 13. And if you'll look at verses 5 and 6 with me, let's read those together. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Now, you'll recall that Paul said that I have learned that in whatever state I'm in, I'm content. Now, he didn't come by that just all at once. He said, I learned that. And it is a learning process to be in less than ideal circumstances, but to be able to find, I'm okay with this. I can deal with this. You know, Benny and Dave just got back from India, and the living conditions for a lot of people there, and you remember studying all that caste society and all those things, there are people that just are never going to have a chance in life to have much of anything. And that's the way they're going to live out their life. But there's even in that, we can find contentment. The Apostle Paul said, rather than pursuing riches in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 8, what we ought to do is learn to be content with the little that we have. And so, you know, contentment can be ours, and it can be owned and had. But he said, this is how it comes. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Do you see the reason that the writer of Hebrews says that we ought to be content? I think it's interesting. He doesn't say, be content when you get wealth, be content when you have this or that, or when circumstances line up just so in your life. He said, this is enough to bring contentment. You know what it is? It's the fact that God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. You can sigh a breath of relief. He said, God is our helper. So why can't we be content? Is that not enough? You know, as we search for contentment in life, and I want to find fulfillment, I want to find meaning in my life, I want to find happiness and contentment, is it not enough to know that you belong to God? Is it not enough to you to know that He will never leave you? Is it not enough for you to know that he says, I'll be your helper? Those are powerful concepts, and we ought to weigh those. Is it enough, or do you need more? Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 16, and I want you to see a passage right as we come to the end of Romans chapter 16. The Apostle Paul is bringing to a close the letter that he's written to those brethren in Rome. He's writing it from Corinth. And as he writes this letter, he gets to the end and, you know, he says his farewells and hellos and so-and-so says hi and all that. And look in verse 23. Gaius, my host and the host of the whole church greet you. Gaius, this is a guy, the whole church is meeting at his place. So, you know, he has a reputation. He's somebody of note. That's where the church met, in his place. And so he says hello, and there's Erastus, the treasurer of the city. Wow, that's a man of notoriety. They've got an influential member in the community that is a member of their congregation. And oh, he says hello, and then I don't want you to miss Anquartus. Who in the world is Quartus? Gaius, I know. Erastus, I know. Quartus? What did he do? Well, you know, you can get your concordance and you can look up Quartus and you'll find Romans 16:23. And that's it. You know, the only thing you know about Quartus is that the Apostle Paul says, oh, and this brother by the name of Quartus, he says hi too. He's a brother. That's it. Nothing else is said. But let me ask you this. Is it enough? Would it be enough to you to be able to just say, I am a brother in Christ. God is my Father, and the promises and the inheritance that he has belong to me. I don't have to be a person of notoriety. I don't have to have a reputation. I don't have to be the person who, when they say the Carnes Church of Christ, they say, oh yes, that's where so-and-so attends. And they may list off 5 or 6, 7 or 8 names, people that are known. Your name never may be mentioned. Is it enough? Can you find contentment in just being a brother? A son of God, one that God will never forsake, one that he promises to help. That's where contentment is found. And I think, as I said when I began, I think everybody's looking for this. No one wants to be unhappy. No one wants to go through life unfulfilled. They long for that. And it's such a sad tragedy to watch people as they desperately pursue things that they think will bring meaning to their life. And so often people who we would think have everything, they end up taking their life. They're unhappy. They get involved in drugs or alcohol to ease their pain. That they can't find that contentment that they're looking for, and they have so much power to look for it, they're just looking down the wrong roads. The contentment that we're looking for, that we're all looking for, I believe is simply in this, being a brother. God our Father and Jesus our brother. Turn in your Bibles now to Ecclesiastes. I want to show you some places that have often been sought to bring contentment, but they're dead ends. You know, I think we would be wise to learn from the mistakes of others, and that's what we have in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's one big mistake until you get to the end. Solomon, who had unlimited resources, said, you know what, I'm going to set myself, I'm going to find out what it's good for a man to do all the days of his life. What is it that a man ought to spend his time doing? And boy, could he find out. I mean, he could pursue those avenues like none of the rest of us could. We just dabble in it. He had the resources to truly explore those avenues. And we'll see what he has to say about it. But here's one way that people often look for happiness and contentment. Through pleasure, hedonism. They try to amass anything that makes me happy, anything that gives me any pleasure, I'm going to immerse myself in it, I'm going to do it. And boy, do we see that in our culture today. The pleasures of sin. That there's so many people just pursuing what feels good, and it's bankrupt. It doesn't bring contentment. Look at Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 1 and 2. The wise man said, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. But surely this was also vanity. I said of laughter, madness. And the mirth, what does it accomplish? Solomon said, I'm just going to have a good time. I'm going to invest myself in just being happy. And when he got done with it, he said, man, this is so empty. It's madness. It doesn't bring what I thought it would bring. And isn't it that way? Look at the people who have sought out avenues that bring joy, many of which are against the will of God, and look at the ruined wreck that they end up at the end of the road. The manner in which they live their life destroys them physically and emotionally and spiritually, and there's nothing left. They're used up. They thought they were using the pleasure, but it ended up using them. It's not where it's to be found. If anybody could seek joy as a means to find happiness, contentment, it would have been Solomon. But he said, I've tried, and it's just not, that's not it. It's empty. So he turned himself to intellectualism. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 18. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. I put that on my bulletin board in college when I was a student. I don't think that's a good idea, but I did. And the students here don't need to know that either. But in much wisdom is grief. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. You can set out to be the smartest person in the world. You can be the guy that knows the answer to every question. But if you're thinking that's what's going to bring contentment to you and fulfillment in life, you're mistaken. Because with every answer that you learn, there's another question. And you're never going to be satisfied with that. There's always more to learn. As you read the book of Job and you listen to God as he calls Job on the carpet and says, stand up and act like a man and answer me this. Where were you when I did? And he just rattles off for three chapters all these things that he did, and Job can't answer any of it. And God sarcastically says, and boy, how did I ever get all this done without your help? Well, he didn't need Job's help, did he? Job couldn't figure it out. And as smart as the smartest man may be, you're still going to be left empty because there'll always be unanswered questions. And so he said, that's not it either. That just brings sorrow and grief. He sought materialism. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and look at what it says in verse 13 and going through verse 16. He said, I set my heart to seek and to search out wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven, the burdensome tasks God has given to the sons of man, by which they may be exercised. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered. I communed with my heart, saying, look, I have attained greatness, and I have gained more wisdom than all those who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge. And I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly, and I perceive that this also is grasping for the wind. He had unlimited resources. If he found something that he wanted, he wouldn't withhold it from himself. In chapter 5 and verse 10, he says, he who loves silver, he won't be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This is vanity. You see, we think possessions. We think more. If I can just get more, if I can get more knowledge, if I can get more pleasure, if I can get more money, I'll be happy. And he says, no, you won't. And the reason is you can never have enough. There's always going to be unanswered questions. There's always going to be more money that's not yours that you'd like to have yours. And listen, we can, you know, Tony's sitting here. If I said, and I've said this before, but I've said, I've got boxes. I've got a semi truck out here, boxes full of $100 bills, and I have a handful, a stack of them. And I say, Tony, you just tell me when to stop. And I start giving them to Tony. When do you think he'd stop? He's going to grow old and die in that chair if I keep, because he's going to say, man, well, why would you say stop? There's always more to be had. It doesn't fulfill. You can't find contentment because there's always more that you want. That's our nature. And so it's not found in wealth. And all we have to do is look around at people who are among the richest people in the world and they're miserable. Ritualism. Maybe some of us have sought this out. Turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and look at what he says in verses 1 and 2. He says, walk prudently when you go in the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they don't know that they do evil. Don't be rash with your mouth and let your heart utter anything hastily before God, for God is in heaven and you're on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. How many people get involved in, I got to get involved in religion, and they view religion just as a ritual. You know, it's Sunday. We get up and put on our Sunday, go to meeting clothes, and we go to church. That's because that's what we do. And it's just become a ritual to us. And we don't come to hear. It's just a part of our life. Listen, that's empty. When you serve God out of duty, when you serve God out of ritualism, when you have an obligation to do and you do because it's your obligation to do, but it's not because you love God and are listening to Him and trying to heed His instruction, he says, listen, when you come into the presence of God, hush, be quiet, listen to Him, let Him talk. He's the one in heaven, we're on earth. Let your words be few. Is that the way we approach God? Or do we, you know, is it about us? Or is it about Him? If it's about us, we have a ritualism rather than a pure religion that the Bible describes. And so as we go through all, and we can go on and on in the book of Ecclesiastes, but those are some of the major things. He sought joy. He sought wisdom. He sought money. He sought religion. And he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. But he comes to the last chapter in the book and next to the last verse in the book. And he said, you know what? Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is what I've learned. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this, it's the whole of man. It's the whole duty of man. This is what we're about. This is what God has made us to be and to do. You want contentment? Fear God and keep His commandments. Be His son. Be His child. revel in the knowledge that he is with you and that he'll never forsake you and that his hand is long enough to help us and that we can simply be a brother in Christ. That's where contentment is to be found. Listen, if you're longing for contentment, and I'm sure you are, as we all are, I just want to save you some heartache and some time and some trial and error. You see, Solomon already tried a lot of avenues. And he was the wisest man, and he had unlimited resources. And he said, those are empty. Don't waste your time. If you're trying to accumulate money to get content, hey, forget it. It's been tried before. You're wasting your time. If you think that by getting an education is going to find, you're going to find contentment in that, forget it. There will always be things you'll never understand and never know. Money, happiness, joy, the works of your hand, your authority and power, all of those things are pursued in this book. And he says, it's empty. But I'll tell you what isn't. Fearing God and keeping his commandments, in that you'll find the purpose for life. And that hasn't changed. And that brings us back to that passage in Hebrews. Contentment is to be had simply in the knowledge that God is with us and he'll never forsake us and that he says he'll be our helper. That's enough. With that, I can be content. As Paul writes to the Romans, he says, oh yes, and Quartus, he says hello too. He's a brother. That's it. A brother. But it's enough to be a child of God and to be an heir of his promises. And I hope that will help to shape your idea and mind about the contentment that you're looking for. Turn your life over to God. Surrender yourself to him. Become his child. And know that he is with you and that he'll be your helper all the days of your life. Also know that he has more in store for you in the next life. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, why don't you make that decision to do that and you'll find contentment. If you're a child of God already but unfaithful and it's time to come back home and you need the brethren to pray for you, we'll pray for you tonight if you'll come as we stand together and sing.